Well, Father, we're back, and again, we're trusting that you'll teach us from the Word. The Holy Spirit will anoint our hearts to hear, our minds to perceive, and that the anointing would be on the Word of God, on me as I share, that the presence of God would minister the Word of God to our hearts in a way that we would be blessed. I think you were blessing us, Father, because we were just going through your word. Never done that before in the book of Revelation. And so I pray that as we just look at most of your word, that your word would accomplish that which you please in our hearts. Again, if there's one here or would be listening to a CD or DVD that would need Jesus, that they would just cry out to the Lord to save them. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we thank you now for this time. Again, we're dependent upon you to teach us and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I went back to the house this afternoon and I went through the rest of what we have, and I think it took me like an hour and a half to go through that, and that was without my bunny trails that I go off on. Just like a couple basset hounds we had, they were always after rabbits. Never could catch one. I told you about one day one of them got one, though, remember? The oldest one, he come down the road, he had a rabbit, and he was smiling from ear to ear. He had finally caught a rabbit, you remember? Roadkill. He said, I got a rabbit. They were so much fun, but they could not catch a rabbit. They'd trip on their ears. Well, they just showed up at our house one time. We were out in the country. Okay, we're up to chapter 12, where we have the woman and the dragon, and then 13, the beast, the two beasts, 14, the 144,000, 15, the preparation for the last judgments, 16, the bowl judgments, 17, the ecclesiastical Babylon, then political Babylon, and 18, then the second coming of Christ, 19, the millennial reign, and 20, and then the eternal state, 21 and 20. Oh, I think that if I can get through to chapter 18, then we might be able to do it all. I don't want to cut anything short out of the last three chapters for sure. As I was reading through those, wow, God has given us a glimpse into eternity. And if we needed to cut anything short, we could cut short some of these ferocious judgments that are going to be thrown out. I guess I will do this bunny trail to the start just to give you maybe a couple ideas of what was going on in the Old Testament when God was warning Israel that there was going to be this day that's behind us, this tribulation period. In Deuteronomy 4:30 and 31, he said, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Deuteronomy 4:30 and 31. And then I pick out maybe just a couple. And Isaiah had a lot of them. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks. This is in Isaiah. And into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord. We just read about that, didn't we? For the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah 2:19. Isaiah 24:1-6. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and he turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Isaiah 24:19 also and through 21, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved. Just slip on down in 26:20 and 21, he talks about, come my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy door about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. And God's going to take Israel and take them off and hide them during this time. Pardon. Alas for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, for he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah 37. And then I can get over into Daniel and Joel and Amos and Zephaniah, and then Matthew has things about it for 1 Thessalonians 5:3 and on. There's just a lot more. I got 3 pages how God had warned at this time. Okay, we're up to chapter 12 of the tribulation period. This 1 and 2 is when Satan makes his attempt to destroy, and the attempts in this tribulation to destroy God's people. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a wonder clothed with the sun, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. This is Satan. And so he's beginning, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And just stop again. There's a lot of details. If we were to take the time to explain a lot of the detail, it would help understand. But I will say this, that as these things are going on in the tribulation, there's layered, there's different things going on at the same times. So it's just what this thing didn't happen, that. A lot of these things are going on at the same time. So there's layers of things. And if I showed you a chart or something, you could see where those things would fit in. A lot of them are right close together. So it's a little bit complicated without a visual lesson here. So it begins by picturing Israel as a great woman with 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel, who is pregnant with Jesus, the Messiah, symbolic of Mary being pregnant at Jesus' first coming. And then when you go through 3 and 4, it pictures Satan as a red dragon who wants to destroy the Messiah. He is assisted by a third of the demons he brings down out of heaven. So that's how we get going in this chapter. 13:14. Okay, starting off in verse 5 then, Satan's plan was to destroy Jesus when he was born. That didn't work. So he's still trying to destroy the seed. He attempted this through Herod's slaughter, and we all know that. So the Messiah accomplishes his ministry by dying on the cross for us. Satan fell, but then he still continues to try to destroy the godly seed, which would be one of the things that we need to watch for our children, because Satan wants to destroy them if he can. And so in verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. I guess we would say that was when Christ went back to heaven. Then we get to 6, and to the midpoint of the tribulation is where we're at in that area, and a lot of things are happening. A lot of different things happen. Matter of fact, if we put everything, because you got Zechariah, you got Daniel that's got details and things, and other prophets, so it's not all in the book of Revelation for what's going to happen in the future. But we're just focusing on Revelation now. And if we were to go through the whole book and I was just to teach it, it would take months. I've got 5 notebooks of notes. It would just take us months to go through everything. So it's a stretch for me to try to do this whole thing in one day like this. Or, all right, anyway. So midpoint of the tribulation, Satan's attempting to destroy the believing Israelites and thwart God's final redemption phrase by having no believing Israelites in physical bodies to enter the millennial kingdom, as someone had put it out like that. So verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there's information on that where people think that that's going to happen, where they're going to hide. And then 7 through 9, midpoint of the tribulation, Satan is thrown out of heaven. He's kicked out, no more access to go in there and be the accuser of the brethren, which he's been doing. And so, as he did with Job, he had to get permission to do this. Anyway, he's kicked out, no more access. So he's going to come and try to destroy Israel. And so here we go in 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the power of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. By the way, on the testimony, that's mentioned 8 times in the book of Revelation. 1, 9, 6, 9, 11, 7, 12, 11, 17, 15, 5, and 19, 10. You got it? Okay. Anyway, it's in there, the testimony. It's very important. Okay, let me finish up on this chapter. Therefore, 12, verse 12. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So Israel is going to be protected for 3.5 years somewhere. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Of course, that section is really an interesting section to get into with the conjecture of what's all that about. So we come to chapter 13 now, where we have the description of the roles of the Antichrist and the false prophet during the last 3 years of the tribulation. Now, this chapter, you could just take a whole time to focus in and study on the Antichrist. And it can be a whole thing by itself. But we'll just go through this pretty quick, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are introduced, and they have power and authority from Satan, this Antichrist, and they are given 3.5 years of power, great power and authority during this time, the last 3.5 years. And then we're going to get to the mark of the beast on all the unbelievers. You ready to go? All right. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. By the way, John is seeing the Antichrist and all this as a beast. But when the Antichrist, he's going to be like a man. Got it? So it's symbolic to John and whatever, but he's going to appear as a man. Like in 5, there was given unto him. Well, never mind. Let's keep going. in verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deathly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." By the way, today we probably don't have too much trouble understanding that Satan can do great things and miracles with all the stuff they've got. Years ago, and I've got it back, probably in my phone back in there somewhere, there's a video come out of these kids sitting around, junior high kids in a, did I tell you about this? In an auditorium. And they're sitting around the bleachers, and out of the middle of the auditorium, this big killer whale jumps up. Water is splashing everywhere. It just looks real. And it's what they call a hologram, whatever. You know these mega guys preaching around the country? Their appearance is on a platform all over the different places. It just looks like he's there. You could go up and walk right through him. And so what is Satan going to do? Things in the air and whatever to prove that he's God? With the technology that we have, we can sort of see that kind of stuff happening. Okay, where'd I leave off? Verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." This great miracles happened. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war?" Who is able to make war with him? Well, Jesus can. We'll count on him. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." See, what happens at the middle of the tribulation, right in the middle, is he had made a covenant with Israel. They had peace, but then he breaks that covenant, and then he turns into the beast that he is. This Antichrist, all of a sudden, Satan is there. He's on the throne. He wants everybody to worship him. And no more pretending. It was Satan that was being set up to be worshipped. The Antichrist and the false prophet were to promote the dragon. But now he's showing his real colors. And so, 6, he opened his mouth against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein. And he's also turned against the Jews just terrifically. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which hath the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great, rich, and poor, free, and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that hath the mark of the name or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. If it wasn't for time, I've got information, a lot of different information, like on AI, artificial intelligence. They've got this thing created now to where the artificial intelligence, this computer thing, is taking over. And it's so many times faster than the human brain. It could just come alive, writing its own program and things. I got information on that. We don't even have a clue what's going on. But this thing could be tied in with the mark of the beast somehow. And it's pretty scary what they've got out there with artificial intelligence. And I'm not intelligent enough to understand it. I've got her artificial intelligence, but this thing is something else, and these prophecy guys are talking about it. All right, that was. Let's go to 14 now. And 14 describes the announcement and warnings to those living on the earth during the last 3.5 years regarding salvation. And so 1 through 5 introduce a new group of God's people. They're the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who would preach the gospel during this last half of the tribulation. And many would be won to Christ, because you're going to be a lot of them get martyred. Okay, this chapter then will end with a great celebration of the final defeat of the kingdom of Antichrist, which is called Babylon, the Great Babylon, which will occur as a result of the final trumpet judgments. We're going to come back into those that last trumpet, that seventh one, in a minute here. Okay, you ready to go? And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God unto the Lamb. As I said this morning, this is why I believe in Jewish evangelism. May be preparing for these 144,000. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Another proof that God wants as many people to get saved as can get saved. He wants the gospel to get out. Saying with a loud voice, verse 7, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations. Of course, you can go over to Colossians and you see that Christ made everything. Or go back to the beginning, God created everything, being that they're both God. 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his angel and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. This is why you don't want to take the mark of the beast. It means you belong to him. And the smoke of their torment, verse 11, ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow him. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So, chapter 15 describes the celebration of the coming victory of the sovereign God and the acceptance of the seven angels with the seven bowls of judgment. And so we jump into this when you get to verse 7. The seven bowls will be mentioned again, I think it is. Or maybe not, but anyway, we're coming along to it. 15, ready? And I saw another sign in heaven, and great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. That's sort of generally thought as a lot of people. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. This will happen in the millennial reign, when we get back up to between the brown and the great white throne, the white one, in that thousand-year reigns. A lot of things in there. And 5, is it where we're at? And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, this is the bowls now, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So we're coming up to these seven bowls here, which we come out of the seventh trumpet. 16. Now chapter 16 describes these seven angels pouring out these next seven plagues that are going to come on the earth, both of the wrath of God and the judgment it brings upon those who have taken the mark of the beast. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. That was the 2 million number army coming from the east. I don't know if it's the Chinese or whatever, but it's 2 million men. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. A lot of things going on in that last 3.5 years. It's not exactly a place where I don't think a Christian would want to be, because it's not going to be a fun time when God finally shuts down on all of this stuff. Now we go into chapter 17. 17 is describing what we are heading into right now in the world, a one world religion. And it's just interesting to watch how churches are beginning to use witchcraft more and more, teaching yoga and contemplative prayer and getting into the meditation, connecting with demons. And then on the other hand, you got the government infiltrating churches. You got FEMA that has become a part of churches, with the government more and more coming in. And then the rules and the regulations and the laws are going to come to where you got to register this and this and be a part of the whole deal. So we don't know how to turn out. We see how it is over in China and Russia and those places. So, ready to go on 17. All right. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." If I'd had time, I'd gone into one of my bunny trails here and just share with you how Napoleon learned to use the Pope to manipulate him to get things done. He said, "Religion is profitable for my cause, to use it." And he wouldn't work with the low priest and whatever. He would work with the Pope, who would influence the others to accomplish what he wanted to get done. He's not the only one. What did Hitler do? He did the same thing. You go down the line. The working through religion is going to become a really bad thing all over the world, but especially here. So, where'd I leave off? I need to keep my finger in my place here. Okay. Three, I guess. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So you'd see a huge, some huge religious system. And back in the days of the Reformation and everything, they all thought it was the Pope, and it may still be, because it sure does fit the description. Okay, 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, that's the colors, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And that place, the Vatican, is a wicked, wicked place. The artwork around is just full of pornography all over the place. And they say there's a black pope that really does the controlling and everything. I don't know. But inside there, and I've been in there, is this huge sun where they worship the sun god. And it's all tied in with satanic worship. That's really, really bad. 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You ever wondered what the Muslim leaders have to do going into, and the Hindu leaders going into the Vatican to meet with the Pope, and the guys from our country all going, what are they doing getting together? And some of the presidents that we've had. Interesting. Anyway, 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Interesting, they say Rome has 7 hills there. Could be. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not, and yet it's coming. And if you take Daniel and throw all the things that Daniel's saying about these different things and these others, really can get complicated, but it gets real interesting when you're trying to put it together and figure out what's going on. Okay, 10, and there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short peace. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is the 7th, and is of the 7th, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Daniel comes in with a lot of details on this area. And there, these have 1 mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest and is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So what happens is the Antichrist is going to use all these religions of the world to get everybody to be one. One world religion. He's going to use them to manipulate the people and get them signed up and registered and everything. And then when he's got all that, he's done, then he destroys all religion. He doesn't want any religion but the worship of himself. And so then we go into 18, and we have the political system going on. And this is where God's going to strike. He strikes at the gods of each country. If you have idols in your heart, or whatever God will hit in that area. And so it's good for us not to have an idol in our life, especially if we're a believer. Jeremiah had said they're mad upon their idols in Israel continually. God had to deal with them with their idolatry. God is jealous. He's a jealous God. And so if you want some problems as a Christian, just try to have an idol in your life. 18. Ready? So, well, let's just jump in. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine. We're talking about this one big world economy and idol worship of all the money and the wealth. And the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Remember, people are getting saved all through this time. These 3.5 years at the last, and the first 3.5 years, they're still getting saved. It's going to be really tough, though, because you can't take that mark. So starving and everything. So God is saying, don't be a part of this system. For come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double, according to her works. In the cup which she had filled, fill to her double. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, for they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. What do you think? What city do you think that is? Some great commerce center. New York? Hong Kong? Rhinelander? Where?
Babylon.
They're going to rebuild. You ever Googled Babylon? I don't know if it is over there, but it's interesting, and things could change or whatever. I don't think it's Rhinelander, though. All right. Nine, the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, lived deliciously. 10, and so God just zaps it. The smoke of it's burning, and 9, standing far off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, thy great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn for her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. Big stock market crash. Just big time. And the merchants of gold and of silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? You know, when the Twin Towers went down, that was quite a catastrophic thing because there's so many businesses in there and so much stuff destroyed. So what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour, notice it keeps coming up, in 1 hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. I wonder if a tsunami is going to hit it. I don't know. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. That system was very evil and killing believers. So I was just the other day, you remember how many people were killed over in Japan with that tsunami? It was, I don't know, was it like 15,000 or more than that? A whole bunch. Destroyed the whole area. So whatever God does here, it just is probably a whole lot worse than that. Okay. We'll go ahead and do 19. When we get into 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, we get some more comments on things. So if I do 19, then we could take our break. So 19, at the end of the tribulation period, just before Jesus returns, there's a great celebration in heaven called the marriage celebration of the Lamb. We're going to read a little bit about that. This is where the bride of Christ and believers are presented in white robes to Christ as the ones who have been united to him in the Spirit. And so without going into a lot of details on that, let's just jump into the first 9 verses of chapter 19. Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation period with the brown towel there signifying that. So we've come to the end of those terrible judgments. And now this is going to be a description of the celebration in heaven over the destruction of the false religion and the Antichrist and the celebration of the union and presentation of Jesus and his church. And so he's getting ready to come back to the earth. Let's jump in verse 1, 19, chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigning. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, of saints. One of the things that God may be fixing to do is maybe be start helping the church get purified a little bit. Persecution has a way of doing that. And it can get to the point where the pretenders, it won't be worth it. Like over in China, the pretenders usually are just infiltrators. In the same way when it's been in communist Russia. So God may do that, because if he comes back right now, a lot of the church is pretty polluted. Believers are pretty worldly, if they're a believer. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. If you have any righteousness, it's not yours. It's the righteousness of Christ that's given to you. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So now we will go into, let me read 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now we'll go into 11 through 21, which is going to describe Christ coming down to the earth at the end of the tribulation, the beginning of the millennial reign. He's coming with his church and angels, and they're going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist and unbelieving mankind, and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. And I don't know if we'd want to make a bunny trail over to Zechariah on this. I better not. Zechariah 14, 1 through 7, give you some more details when Jesus returns to Jerusalem. Okay, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Christ, by the way. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Another description, I think, of the Battle of Armageddon. Like I say, things are in layers. And so they're not presented just right exact same time. Okay, it's 5:30. So should we take a break? All right. If you want to get out of here early, we could start back earlier. It's up to you. But we'll take a break.